cliffcentral.com.
I'm Adrian Groenewald. It's great to be with you. Transforming towards an empowered society. That's what the next 3 hours is about, from 12 to 3 p.m. With me, as usual, and it's good to be back in the driving seat. We haven't been here for a few weeks, is Louis Groenewald.
Louis Groenewald, the old man?
No, we call him the old man. He just keeps us sane, the universal values. And, of course, as always,
Alice Mnyandu.
Alice Mnyandu. Thanks, Alice. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
You're also at the coast, so we're both...
Good to be here, yeah. Beautiful country we have.
It is, man. Magnificent. And we have to keep it that way.
Build it.
To transform a society, of course, the golden thread is leadership. And that's why the first hour of our three-hour platform is a leadership masterclass. All about leadership. First half hour is our leadership master lesson. And today is very relevant in our beloved country. Ethical, moral leadership. Professor Theo Veldsmann will join us on the line. And he will just... give us a bit of a strong theory, practical view of it, and then we'll talk practice. And I'm sorry, but we actually have to look at real life examples, which means it includes our President Zuma, and people like Thuli Madonsela. We're going to talk about them, but our primary purpose for the first half hour is a lesson on moral and ethical leadership. And the second half hour, we zoom in on our special guest, Zwelinzima Vavi, who's in the studio with us. He will join us the first half hour as well, where we discuss moral, ethical leadership, a man of great experience. So he's our special emphasis. But the first half hour part of the panel, Zwelinzima, welcome again.
Thank you, Adrian, and good morning to everybody.
I don't know when, you were here, it could be a year ago. I mean, time flies like anything, and in this country, a week feels like a year. So a lot has happened since you sat there last. It's really absolutely good to have you here. We've got really relevant issues to discuss, always wanting to develop and empower our leaders out there so that they can transform our society. And then from 1 to 2, we have our business masterclass, and Richard Angus will run that for us while I go outside with Zwelinzima, and we'll engage a couple of the managers from Sibanye, who are our sponsor, and they'll have a practical Q&A with Zwelinzima himself. And 1 to 2 is our business masterclass. We have some great guests from USB Ed and other individuals who's been here in the studio before. And 2 o'clock, 2 to 2:30, our transformation platform. Eric Aykroyd, verification director at Empower Logic. So we'll talk transformation issues with this man who's been doing verifications for many years. And finally, leadership and education, 2:30 to 3 p.m. So a packed lineup, a lot of empowerment conversation, and the golden thread is always leadership. Stay with us. Next up, our leadership masterclass.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy. We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
cliffcentral.com. I'm Adrian Groenewald, Leadership Masterclass, and you can go to leadershipplatform.com, 2 P's in the middle, for all things leadership. Every single week we have this Leadership Masterclass. You can take an early lunch break, 12 to 1, if you have that luxury, or you can download the apps. You download the app, the Cliff Central app, or you can just download the actual podcast and listen to it every single week. It is for you. It's really free. And it's to empower leaders out there. And we have a great panel in front of us. Let's quickly bring into it Professor Theo Veldsmann. Prof, welcome. Are you there?
I'm here.
There we go.
It's Theo Veldsmann here. How are you?
Very good, very good. Thank you for joining our panel again today.
Thank you for having me, and also to the panelists as well.
All right, today, moral and ethical leadership, and our panel to discuss it, very relevant in our country, maybe world over, actually, is Louis Groenewald, Zwelinzima Vavi, Alice Mnyandu and Professor Theo Veldsmann from UJ. Gentlemen, the prof is going to kick us off and tell us, in essence, what is moral ethical leadership. And we'll have a couple of minutes discussion around that and then start talking about the real case studies that our country face at the moment. It's, I think, fascinating times. Wonderful leadership case studies, reality happening. And it's not easy to lead in today's world. Visible. You can't make mistakes. You can't think people are fools. You've got to be real. You've got to be who you really are. And hopefully that is a moral, ethical person. Then you're probably okay. It'll still be tough. But if you are that, then you'll get through difficult times. Right, Theo, kick us off.
Yes, firstly, I would just like to start off by saying, very often people say ethical leadership equates to good leadership. In other words, if we have ethical leaders, that's good leadership. But also what we have to add to that is competence, because you can have a very ethical leader who's incompetent or very competent, or you can have an unethical leader that's incompetent or very competent. And in the latter case of unethical competent leaders, I mean, history is we've got history of very immoral leaders that have been very efficient, very results driven. I mean, the worst situation you can land up is an incompetent, unethical leader, which really places you badly. But coming to the topic of the day, you know, what's the essence of ethical leadership? It is, for me, if you have to summarize it in a single sentence, is about doing the right things for the right reasons at the right time with the right people and acting consistently in terms of that, in terms of integrity and honesty, in terms of those convictions. It's about a moral consciousness, it's a moral compass, and it's moral behavior. That's really the thrust for me of ethical leadership.
Okay, so good definition to kick off with. Let's ask Zwina Zima, what do you think of that kind of definition as a foundation on which we can build today?
Well, in essence, we're talking here about somebody who appreciates the difference between right and wrong. Mm. Somebody who set up what we'll call higher standards for society, for him or her to follow and to inspire society around those values, those ethics, and those set of moral standards that society should be encouraged to reach. Mm-hmm. And therefore, moral leadership is something that is sort of a requirement for any society to succeed. Ethics is what should keep us going, that these are our ethical, these are our values, and these are the things that we shun, but these are the things that we celebrate in every day of our lives. And that's what I think that your discussion is about. It's about a person who can distinguish between what is good for himself and for the country and what is bad for herself and for the country.
Yeah, or business or organization, wherever you function as a leader. Alice, want to add to that, and then Louis?
Yeah, I agree with Zweli. I think it's very important that, you know, one makes that distinction, that when you talk about moral, ethical leadership, you talk about those individuals who need to necessarily differentiate between right and wrong. But I'll take that a step further in the context of our country. I've often said that the kind of leadership that we need or we must see is that kind of leadership that would know where self-interest and national interest, where self-interest ends and where national interest begins.
Interesting addition there, Louis.
The challenge we have, many people start off with good moral, ethical base, but the organizational imperatives sometimes drive them to water down. That's when you break down trust. In other words, they believe in one way, but in order to be loyal to the organization, whatever it may be, business or even political parties, then they may break down their own moral values. This is a big challenge we have.
So under pressure, you can theoretically believe these are my morals and values, but when you go through fire, when you go through difficult times, then you're really tested whether you're beyond just believing it.
Well,
whether it's part of you.
Zwelinzima is a good example. Often you've spoken out against the organizational trend around you. And it takes a lot of courage to do so, because the danger is if you start rationalizing it, it becomes acceptable behavior and you try and back it up. But real people sense it and they lose trust in you.
Yeah. So, Theo, are you happy with that, the additions?
Yes, I think what's important that's been touched on there is there are, imagine three circles. The one is the leader in the center of that as a person, whether he or she is moral or immoral. The next circle around is are the followers, and whether they're moral or immoral, and whether they actually support one. And the third one is the context in which all of these things happen. And what Louis has said about the context can be so poisonous that you can only but have immoral followers, immoral leaders. But also the power then of the leader to really show true leadership in influencing followers to behave morally and setting that aspirational example for the context to become moral.
Okay. So, Nzima, you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, moral, ethical leadership does not always mean that everybody is at that bar. I mean, everybody knows in society we were molded by our children, others in church, others in custom, and all of that. But it's just to set a bar, and the bar must be high enough that it will be seen as being inspirational. Mm. And in the process, everybody must accept that all of us, without any exception, we then become the object and the subject to change towards establishing and maintaining those high moral values in society. When I say we subject, it means that we ourselves must be inspired by others to reach those high moral values, and we object because ourselves must change first and to accept that we must reach the bar and maintain that bar. And so that's why I'm using both the term, both object and we also subject of change, but we change towards a certain bar in society that is acceptable. Then it's a matter of debate in every society. The prof says sometimes leadership can set the bar so low that suddenly that becomes your base.
Yeah.
And yet everybody in society knows that when the base is low, it is low. And when it has been set high, it has been set high. And luckily in our country, there are so many countless examples where the bar was set very, very high. Mm. And whether we're living up to the bar that was set up by moral leaders such as Nelson Mandela in our everyday, in our lives, I don't know. For example, one of the most important value that Nelson Mandela left us is the value of selflessness. This willingness to put everything in on the line, not for you and for your benefit and the benefit of your family, but for the benefit of everybody in the society.
Yeah.
Can we live up to that value every day is a challenge that I think all of us are we're debating every day.
Yeah. So here's the challenge to be with you now is you set a high bar. That means the leader and the leader's followers are not necessarily there. But the leader is more visible than anyone else. So often the leader then makes a mistake against the backdrop of that high bar, because he or she is as human as anyone else trying to achieve that bar. But then there's trouble if the leader doesn't have a value of humility, if the leader doesn't have the strength to apologize, you know, to say sorry when he or she fall short. Let me just add here, but just before you do, sorry, ethical leadership is manifested in honesty, integrity, trustworthiness, caring, fairness, principled decision making, practicing what they preach, and being a proactive role model for ethical conduct. Not easy to be the leader.
I'd like to see your comment as well, Arden. When raising the bar principle that Zuma spoken about, when that is high inspirational, then it allows for a lot of differences of opinion. because they're all drawn towards the one bar. And that's one of the reasons many organizations have been successful in the past, because the bar was inspired vision of all of them. But if you don't have that, then the difference of opinion becomes contentious, and that breaks down the organization. Right? Mm.
I've got you. You have your own values. As you said, those three circles, Theo, you have your own values and morals. You've got your followers. And then you said context. So let's say the context is, if you're a Zuma, you're leading the country. So the morals and values of the country. If you're leading Sibanye Gold, then that's the morals and values of that organization. Mm. And if I, as a leader, if I'm not clear about my own values and morals, very clear, crystal clear, and that of my followers, which means I must be very connected, and of the organization or the context or the country, then I will falter. I'll fall. I can't stay up there.
And if I might come in here, Adrian, it also says that you as a leader in those three circles take an active responsibility for all three. In other words, you can have a very moral leader that passively watches by if you have immoral followers, or there could be immoral practices in the context. It means also that leaders, given what has been said, that it's aspirational, should lead, role model it in all three spheres, and get actively involved, being the living example of the values relative to followers, yes, have sanctions then against it in the context as well. Mm. I mean, Nelson Mandela said something also, you very often have good people, and they're very good, but they pass it and they watch the bad things happen.
Okay, you send me this column, Alice, maybe you want to say something before I go this direction, of ethical versus unethical behavior. Mm. And I'm sure you, this sort of comparison was made long before the last month or so. I hope so, because it kind of describes something in my head, I must be honest. So before I shared with the listeners, Alice, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I've got my head spinning here, because I think this is a very, very difficult topic, you know, moral, ethical leadership. And I wonder about, at what point does a leader become immoral? Because if you are intrinsically immoral, you shouldn't be a leader.
Mm.
So is there something that us as followers create in terms of creating the aura of authenticity around a leader who's not authentic? And when that leader falters, we go back and start saying he is immoral, he's unethical. So again, I think this points to the sort of collision course, mm-hmm. at which our values as followers and the values of the leader collide.
Mm.
Yeah. Adrian, I think a couple of very valid points have been made. The one is, you know, followers also get the leaders that they deserve and aspire to because it suits their needs, say. Mm. The other one is, very often what we see with senior executive leaders, there are a lot of checks and balances at lower levels in the organization, so to speak. But as you rise up in the organization, those checks and balances, because of the authority you've got, are more difficult to apply. You've got all the power. And then sometimes, with the benefits that go with the office, etc., your immoral part comes to the fore. Previously, it was kind of under control. Now it pops up because you've got the power, and because as you have more power, you become more attractive with certain followers to associate with you.
Okay, so power, Zwelin Zima, you've tasted it. Some of us in different forms, but you've tasted power and influence. You've, for a large part of your life, you've circled around them. Alice, same you. I've met leaders. That is a real tester of your morals and values, isn't it?
Absolutely. You only know a person once you have given that person power.
Yeah.
Then you know that person well. Before that, you don't know that person.
Because you've seen presidents change. Even Thabo Mbeki changed as a president, and Zuma has now changed, it seems. But with President Mbeki, Mandela, I don't. The impression one gets is he became a better person in that leadership role, as opposed to a weaker and a worse person. Does it make sense? That's the impression I got about A. Mandela. With others, it almost felt like that test was too big in many ways, because maybe they're not that clear about their own values and morals, or maybe the power is too much. I don't know.
Look, I normally joke about it every time I speak to leadership in the trade union movement about this thing that I call the demon of power. Normally say that every individual, whether it is just a private citizen or a leader in the corporate world, union, political parties, everybody lives with the demon of power. Everybody in the leadership wants power and wants to consolidate power around himself, around the organization. And if the organization gets weak, And if that bar of ethical, moral, and values is set low, then the leadership will then knit the organization around his own values, ethical standards, and low morality. And so the existence of a strong organization in the context of political parties, unions, is absolutely great. But even in the corporate world, the existence of a strong board that will always check this edge towards consolidating power on the part of every individual is absolutely critical. An individual left alone on his own without the checks and balances of an organization or a board will take you into any direction. And we know that in South Africa today so well, isn't it? And that's why I always say the point that check that demon of power in the individual and buttress and all. Make sure that you have an organization to be your checks and balance against the individual edge for more power.
It's almost you think you trust yourself, but when that moment comes, you don't.
Can I just come in here and just the point that's just been made? I think also important that the organization then has that moral consciousness to make the tough decisions, the moral courage. And sometimes, and we've seen it over the recent weekend, I mean, if we have to choose now to let a leader go, yes or no, what's for the best benefit of the organization? That's not a moral decision. That's moral cowardness. What you need to say is, what is morally right? And regardless of the impact of that, let's make the right moral decision.
Yeah, so the ANC is tested very much. Now, I'm going to read everyone a list.
But there's something, one thing that is important. He spoke about humility. Both you, Adrian, and Ellie spoke about the humility. Because let's face it, nobody will not falter somewhere down in your life. No one is perfect.
Yeah.
If we think that we will ever find a perfect angel on earth, we're making a huge mistake. All of us will make one mistake or other.
And be careful if you're going to judge someone like a president or anyone else for that matter, if you haven't been there.
The point is two. Humility, when you have made a mess, clean it. Accept the responsibility and be frank enough that to everybody that, I've made a mess. My apology, never to be repeated again. The second thing that I think you were speaking to is the issue of courage. No one doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Everybody who does wrong every day does that irrespective of the fact that he or she knows what is right. But there are other overwhelming things that makes him to close the eyes and basically disregard.
Jump the red robot.
Absolutely. Jump the red robot, knowingly so. Mm-hmm. Either because of power relations or because of the bar have been lowered down, so this is now acceptable, or because I will lose one or that type of benefit. But everybody knows that when you break the moral values, you're doing that with your eyes wide open. Consciously.
Yeah.
And when you don't have then courage, which is the point that I was just wanted to emphasize, in your organization of people who can stand up to you and say, sorry, but here is our moral standards, here is our moral ethical values, you are breaking them.
Yeah.
Then that organization goes straight to the dustbin of history.
Yeah. So you mentioned the robot. If you jump a robot and a traffic cop pulls you over, you can, what I have found works really well is when I'm so sorry, I was wrong. I really apologize, officer. And I think 8 out of 10 times they would say, that's fine, off you go. Maybe sometimes they'll try and get something from you. We know that little story. But the point is, when you show humility, real humility,
absolutely,
then the reaction is often positive. If I'm hard, what do you want? You know, I'm late. Then they hit you back. And that's the same at any level, I think.
The example was the President Zuma's apology on Thursday. Was it Thursday or Friday night?
It wasn't an apology.
It was
actually
April Fool's Day. That's what we remember.
Yeah. I mean, everybody sees that this is no apology. There's no humility. There's no courage to accept that he have faltered the Constitution, he violated his oath. and is blaming everybody else for his own conduct, then that's not humility, and that's arrogance, and that's but arrogance is always assured by the fact that back home there would be people who have accepted this is the standards, low standards. They will rally behind me, such as this is going to be happening. Good in point. Fact today.
Okay, now I want everyone to listen to my list that I'm going to give you, but I want you to think. Unfortunately, our number one citizen is our leader. Leaders are up there for criticism. When you're a visible leader, that's the way it is. You criticize, you look at your leader, you learn from them, good and bad. So we use him as a case study for a moment, but I want you to think of yourself as well as a leader. Don't just think Zuma when I go through this list. Think of yourself, how others may see you. So I'm going to describe the ethical leader, and immediately after that, the unethical leader. You'll get the gist of it. So the first one is ethical leader is humble. The unethical leader is arrogant and self-serving. So we start thinking of the leaders in our society at the moment, especially the relevant ones like our president, Aituli Madonsela, yourself, your CEO. Humble, is arrogant and self-serving. Is concerned for the greater good, is the ethical leader. Excessively promotes self-interest. Everything around President Zuma has been about self-interest and the Guptas and everything else. Some of it true, some of it maybe perceptional, some of it instigated by media, I don't know, but that comes out strongly. Is honest and straightforward. On the unethical, practices deception. Ethical, fulfills commitments. Unethical, breaches agreements. Ethical, strives for fairness. Unethical, deals unfairly. Takes responsibility. Ouch. Shifts blame to others. We've seen a lot of that. Shows respect for each individual. Diminishes others' dignity. Encourages and develops others. Unethical, neglects follower development. Almost done. Ethical, serves others. Mandela. Unethical, withholds help and support. Shows courage to stand up for what is right. Zwelin Zuma, what you said. Unethical, lacks courage to confront unjust acts. Now, let's be bold for a moment. How does our president rate there? Of course, how do I myself rate? How does Musi Maimani rate? How does Zwelin Zuma rate? Louis, all of us, think of yourself. But Alice, you're a bold journalist, former editor of Business Report. How does our president rate with that list?
You know, I was listening to this list. There's something that wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
Fear.
Yeah.
Scared. You know, I think our president is scared.
So an unethical leader will experience fear often, hiding, defending, whatever. And an ethical leader, what do you have to hide or be scared of?
Absolutely.
Theo, this is the list you made.
No, I extracted it from, from other sources.
Yeah, I think it's a powerful one, very relevant in our country. Zwelin Zuma, Louis, how does our president rate?
Well,
you've been vocal about it. So
I've been very, very vocal. I've written about 3 weeks ago and about the current crisis in South Africa. And I have honed it into the president to say that the fear factor, that as long as we have a president who fear that one day may behold to face the 783 charges, then he have to act every day to ensure that he never, ever, ever have to face, I normally joke about this, he never have to ever face the prosecutor who was prosecuting Oscar Pistorius. That's a tough guy. I mean, everybody who knows that he will not go through that eye of the needle will do everything that they can to ensure that you never, ever have to face Gerinel in your life. And when you know that these 783 charges are just far too many. And so everything then gets redesigned, reconstructed to ensure that in that fear, that he never ever have to face Gerinel. And in the process, you have to destroy everything that you've listed as ethical leadership. You don't promote good, you're not humble, you're not straight, you're not honest, you you're not fulfilling any commitment, and you said all of these things. You don't take responsibility. You have no courage to stand up to the people and say this is good, this is not good. You don't serve others. You serve your family, and you save a network of your cronies that serves as a sycophant wall protecting you on a daily basis against those who are questioning your immorality and your lack of values or your lack of ethical leadership. And I think that's what South Africa is going through. I normally say this hour perhaps is the darkest hour we're facing at this moment, because we made the mistake, and I've already pleaded guilty. We made the mistake to install into power somebody who have the fear factor. Mm. And was preoccupied by this fear that one day I may go down the way of my financial advisor, Shabir Sheikh. Mm. And I think that's the biggest crisis facing South Africa today.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second half. Theo, I know our time is up and we may need another show for this, but just give us some thoughts in conclusion of how quick steps on building an ethical culture in an organization.
Well, I think in a sense, you first have to agree on the values that you want to uphold. So you must create, firstly, maybe the first step is ethics is important. We have to be driven by what's good, what's right, and as been mentioned a couple of times, aspiration, that we're aspiring to be good. Mm. And then in a sense, you must build an openness to be courageous around ethics in your organization, and then start debating what are those values. And I think you must make it visible. And you must put in and that's why the courage is so important, that people can appeal. And it's lower than just saying, you know, we customer-driven and professional innovation. It's at a deeper level, respect, dignity, serving a greater cause. It's at a deeper level. And I think we have to move our ethical debates and conversations, narratives in our organizations to a much deeper level and make everybody strong. Because I think one point that you've mentioned in that contrast between the two, and this is critical at this juncture in South Africa, is we need courageous followers that will stand up for what they believe is right, regardless who's in power, regardless of the consequences. And I think for the ANC, it's a true test now of their moral courage, yes or no.
All right, our time is up. We're going to continue with a leader interview. Theo, thank you so much, Professor Theo Veldsmann from UJ. You'll join us again every month. We have a lesson from you, and that was a fascinating one. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Ethical and moral leadership. We'll discuss it a little bit more with Zwelinzima Vavi in the studio and Alice Mnyandu and Louis Groenewald, the old man, myself, Adrian Groenewald. Quick break, and then we continue the interview with Zwelinzima. And we'll certainly also touch a little bit more on the Zuma factor and where to from here. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.